Okay, today we will talk about the concept of a mishtamesh b'kisra shel Torah, somebody who benefits from his Torah. The mission in the Nedarim on Samach Aleph Amud Beis talks about a person who makes a neder ad ha-kayitz. Ad ha-kayitz. What does it mean for the kayitz? In modern, contemporary Hebrew, kayitz usually means a summer. But the original context of kayitz was the harvest, the fig harvest, the kitzirat te'enim. So the Mishnah says, ad she'yavo ha-kayitz, ad she'yikpulu ha-mitzvos. If a person makes an edit that he won't eat ice cream till Adakayitz, it means that it takes effect until the farmers, the agricultural workers, put away the tools that are used for the fig harvest. The Gemara in Samach Beis Amud Aleph says that at that point, when the workers put away the tools that are used for harvesting the figs, any figs that were made on the ground are hefker. Hefker Mishum Gezel, the Gemara says, that anybody's allowed to take them, it's not just for Aniyim. And Hefker Min Maaser, because once something's Hefker, there's no din of Maaser. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Tarfon. Happened to be passing through a field and at this period of time, and he came across a field where there were figs. He stopped to eat the figs. The Gemara says, in the middle of Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, the Ka'ochel, he saw Rabbi Tarfon, the owner of the field, saw Rabbi Tarfon eating there. Achse b'sako, v'shakle v'amte l'mishle b'nara. He put him into a big sack, and he saw, obviously he was a strong guy, he put him into the sack and started running with him. He's going to throw him into the river. Omar, oy lo l'tarfon, shezeh hargo. Rabbi Tarfon muttered to himself, woe is the Tarfon, this guy's going to kill me. This guy's going to kill him. Shomahu gavra, the owner of the field who was about to kill Rabbi Tarfon, heard, shofke barek, when he heard it was Rabbi Tarfon that he was about to kill, he let him go and he ran away. Right, we'll soon see why did he run away. Was it from embarrassment or whatever? We'll see the different opinions in the Rishonim. Amar Rabbi Yavo, Mishum Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yavo said in the name of Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel, call Yomav Shalos a Tzadik, Rabbi Tzal, Dovazet, the rest of his life, that Tzadik, Rabbi Tarfon, was upset, was aggravated about this matter. Omar, he said, Oyli Shinishtamashti b'chisra shel Torah. He said, woe is to me that I made use of the crown of Torah. I benefited from the crown of Torah. V'yom Rabbi Barbachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol mishtamish b'chisra shel Torah. Anyone who makes use of the crown of Torah, Nekar min ha'olam, he is uprooted from the world. Kavuchomer, there's a Kavuchomer. You can figure it out from another case. Amabel Shatzar, Shemishdamish Bechikodesh, Shemasu Chol. The Belshatzar, who was one of the kings of Bavel, he made use of the clay of Migdash. And what happened afterwards? Shenemo Vo, Bopritzim Vechiluluha, by using them, they became chol. Even shepartzu nasuchol. Once they were conquered, once they were taken away by the goyim who destroyed the migdash, the clay of migdash no longer kodesh. They lost their kedusha. There's no din of mila. Nekam in olam. He was uprooted from the world. He said, "Baba lal yakotal kotil belshatzar hamishtamish b'kisra shel Torah." That night, Belshatzar was struck dead. Baba Laila caught out Belshatzar. That night Belshatzar was killed. Hamishtamish b'kisra shel Torah, shu chai v'kaimli olam, that lasts forever, that exists forever. Allah is kama v'kama. Somebody makes use of the Torah, how much more so is he going to be punished for it? If Belshatzar used clay kodesh that were no longer kodesh, was punished, certainly somebody makes use of the Torah, even though he uses them, the assumption is they retain their kedusha, they're going to be kodesh. Right, so the Gemara we'll soon take a look at the Ran. The Gemara is trying to figure out what exactly, why was Rabbi Tarfon upset? So Gemara says, Amai Tzire, Hahu Gavra. So Gemara says, excuse me, Kevin the Chiochel, Hutahuk Balu, Rova Mutzos, Havo, Amai Tzire, Hahu Gavra. Why did that the owner of the field punish or try to punish Rabbi Tarfon? This guy was suffering from a person who was stealing, grapes from his field the entire year. He thought that was the gag when he saw Rabbi Tarfon. This was the person who was doing it. So why was Rabbi Tarfon upset? He got himself out of something that he wasn't even chayav for. Because Rabbi Tarfon was very wealthy. He could have paid even the cost of whatever that person had lost the entire year without having to resort to revealing his identity. The Ron says, "Shoma hu gavro hikash Rabbi Tarfon oyu." The Ron says, "Shemishlamash bekisva shatora sheinicho kishaladio Rabbi Tarfon." He let him go when he found that he was Rabbi Tarfon. The only reason he let him go was because he was a Talmud Chacham. The next Ron, "Ihochi Rabbi Tarfon amait zir nafshe." Why was Rabbi Tarfon upset? "Iyam epishlomu dalo have a kopit ahu gavro elahu yishaito mishum hofi avim tzar." If you would say that the guy was only machpid at that point, he wasn't upset the whole year, so then you could understand why Rabbi Tarfon was upset, because he could have paid it off. Rabbi Tarfon, if it was only this one event that the guy, that the owner of the field was upset about, then Rabbi Tarfon could have easily, first of all, explained to him that the payros were hefker at this point. And if he wouldn't have accepted that argument, then he could have said he could have paid for whatever it was. But over here, But here we're talking about a situation where this guy was being robbed the entire year. Was he chayv to pay a great deal of money that he wasn't even obligated to pay? He should have paid the great this extra, whatever it was, whatever the cost would have been. Rabbi Tarfon could have shouldered it, and he could have bought his way out. And that's where Rabbi Tarfon was upset. So, if it's something that a person could have paid in order to avoid having to pay, then he would have to avoid having to resort to his status of Talmud Chacham. Then that's what he should have done. Rabbi Tarfon was upset that he acted incorrectly. Okay. Then the Gemara says, all right, so what I'd like to examine for a few minutes is, it seems that the Isser, at least the way the Gemara presents it and the way the Ron understands it, is that a person is not allowed to make use of his Torah, his identity as a Talmud Chacham, because it's an Aveira that's akin to Moel Behegdish. You're not allowed to derive benefit from Hegdish, therefore you can't derive benefit from the Torah. The Torah is also Kodesh, Divrei Kodesh. So a person is benefiting from his Torah. He's deriving benefit from something that he had no right, that does not belong to him. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah discusses this concept of a person who is deriving benefit from Hegdish, from Clay Kodesh that became Chol, in the context of a discussion about the Beis HaMikdash that was desecrated in the days of the Yevanim, in the days of the Chashmonaim. The Gemara says that there was a special office, a special lishkah, where they kept the stones of the Mizbeach that were used during the times of the Yevanim to bring Avodah Zarah. Right? So the Gemara says that they were put away. And the reason they were put away is you couldn't use them anymore. They were used for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, wait a second, they were used for Avodah Zarah. How did they become Asur because of Avodah Zarah? The people who used them had no right to use something that didn't belong to them. So the Gemara uses the same pasuk in Yecheskel, Uvol ba pritzim v'chilaluba, Ami Hechinav. So the Gemara says that once the pritzim came in, it became Hefka. There are two different ways of understanding what exactly happens when the goyim make use of kodesh, of parts of the Beis HaMikdash, of Clay Mikdash, for their own use. What causes the desecration? What causes the chilul of the Clay Kodesh? So this is the Machlokas, the Balamor and the Ramban here on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph from Dapi Arif. The Balamor suggests that it's working with the normal halacha of Me'ila, and since Me'ila is only with a Jew, we're talking about Jews. It must have been Jews that were Mechalel the clay kodesh, the avni hamizbech, the stones of the mizbech that brought Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the stones of the Beis HaMikdash became desecrated, lost their holiness, and then when they were used for Avodah Zarah, they became usher. Mitam Avodah Zarah, they became an usher Israel, mitam the usher Avodah Zarah. That's the way the Baal HaMor understands it. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that normally the Ilah is not Mechalel, something that has a Kedushas Aguf, and therefore the Klei HaMikdash, Klei Kodesh, and the Hamos of Kedushas Aguf cannot become Mechalel that way. It's a special din of a Ba'a Pritzim Chilulua, that when Gayim come in and use the Beis HaMikdash, priests and lewd people come in and desecrate the Beis HaMikdash, everything in it becomes chol. Or whatever they use becomes a chol, special thing, and it applies even to Gayim. Rashi here, in Avodah Zarah, seems to be working with the same Mahalach of the Ramban, because he says in Divya Masal, the Chesiv Vol, but priests and chol, Rashi says, the minute Gayim enter into the Beis HaMikdash, it's Kalim, become chol. They become. They lose their sanctity. They lose their kedusha. The came the nafi v'chulin kaninu be'efkeira. Therefore, the goyim that came into the Beis HaMikdash, or the yevonim at that time, who probably could have even been Jews, once they used it for avodah zarah, it became also avodah zarah. The halach is you can't use something that doesn't belong to you. If you use something that doesn't belong to you for avodah zarah, it doesn't become aser. But here they actually acquired. The Klei HaMikdash, the Avnei HaMizbeach from the Chol, and after they acquired it, it became Aser b'Avodah Zarah because they used it for Avodah Zarah. This is the way the Rashi understands the Pshat. Again, it's more similar to the Mechamos on Daf Chof Dalet and Daf Bei Arif, and not like the Baal HaMor. The Hemshech of the Gemara is a little difficult to understand in the point to our Gemara in the Dharam, because the Gemara continues and says like this. Why couldn't they recycle the stones of the base of the Mizbeach that were used by the Yevonim? So the Gemara says that they would have to take some, a guy would have to come along and break part of it, chip off some of the rocks, and once they would chip off some of it, that would cause it to become Eis Avodah Zarah, but once that would happen, then it would become Pasul L'Avnei Mizbeach. So then the Gemara asks a very strange question. The Gemara says, why didn't they use it for themselves? Let them make it Eis Avodah Zarah and use it for themselves. Why should the stones have to be Nignaz in the Lishka, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the corner of the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara says, we have a case of Hedish that became Nischala, that was Yatzel Chulin, that was later on used by, that was permitted for use by Klal Yisrael. That was certain coins. There were certain coins. The Gemara says, so Gemara says El Amar Abaya, the bottom, the first white line. Bichulik knows Dinu Hadriano. They wanted to put away all the coins of Hadrian to Raina. Shifa Mipnei Tivah Shemshalayim, because it had the gold of Yerushalayim. And Rashi points out that the gold of Yerushalayim, most of the gold, it was used from gold that was captured by the Romans from Yerushalayim, and most of the gold of Yerushalayim was Hegdish. So the Gemara says. So, if the Goyim had used this gold that was Hegdish for the court, for minting Roman coins, they shouldn't have been able to use it. So, the Gemara says, they bring the same pasuk once again, that once Goyim use it, once people capture and take possession of anything that's Kodesh, it uses it for the coins. It's Yotzeh L'chulin. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, what's the difference between these coins that the Yotzeh L'chulin and the Yotzeh L'chulin and the Abnei and the Zbeh, they're also Yotzeh L'chulin. So the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that Hasan lo shemush b'ul gvoa, hafa kevin shemush b'ul gvoa, la b'ulcha lo shemush b'ul hediyota. The Gemara says, there's a big difference between the coins of Hegdish that were never used in Avodah Hashem and the Abnei and the Zbeh, they're the ones used in Avodah Hashem. So it's not Orech Arah. It's improper to take something that was once used in the Avodas Hashem to use for your own private use, whereas something that was merely Hegdish, later was Yotzeh L'chulin, is permitted to be used. Right, so this Gemara here is a little difficult according to the Gemara in the Dharm that says that the Shatza, the person who's Mishtamish, the Klei Chol, is Nekam and Om. Here the Gemara entertained the possibility that people should have been able to use the Avnam Tzedek once it was Yotze L'chulim. Again, if they would have had, they would have just asked the Goyim to destroy it, to deface it in some way by breaking the stones, then it would have become Oysa Vodazara, and then they could have used it there wouldn't have been an Isser Vodazara, and then it should have been able to be used for private use. Then the Gemara says it's not Orechavit. The Gemara doesn't use the strong language of Nekar Mena Olam. You have a similar story here. We're approaching the point. The Gemara says Kalim the Kalim Shon. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph also talks about the fact that Achshverosh brought out the clay Amigdash when he made the party for Shushan. And the Gemara says he wasn't scared. He wasn't afraid that the fate that befell Belshazzar wouldn't befall him. So again, you see that Gemara in Megillah is working along the lines of the Gemara in Dan, that there's a Mishtamish clay. Kodesh and his challah that was Yotze L'chul and his nekam and olam. Here the Gemara in the Dam doesn't discuss this at all. So I'm not really sure what to say about this, but it could be that the Gemara in the Dam that talks about Belshazzar, the Gemara Megillah talks about Achashverosh, talking about the priests themselves. In other words, for the priests themselves to use the clay kodesh and Yotze L'chul, and that's already somebody who's nekar min olam, whereas we're talking about in Avodah Zarah, we're talking about some Jews later recycling it, so to speak, using it later on for their own private use, and that's only a problem of lav or chava. However, it's a little difficult because the Gemara is comparing it to a person who's making use of his own status as a talmid chacham. Unless you're going to say that the person making use of his talmid chacham is somewhat akin to the preetzim, he's making use for his own purpose. Okay. Anyway, that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Returning to the Gemara in the Darm, so the Ran seems to learn that the whole Isser is an Isser of a Kal V'chomer from Mishtamesh B'Kli Kodesh. Okay. The Rambam does not learn like the Pashas of the Gemara. The Rambam, the famous Rambam, everybody's heard about this Rambam at some point in the Perush Mishnayos, where he goes to town on about the Isser of a person making use of his status as Talmid Chacham for personal gain. The Rambam begins in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Zayin, Rav Tzadik Omer, Lo Tase Matar, Liskado Behem, Lo Kodem Rach Behem, Kacho Yehulam, Tzrav Shkakai Cholok. A person should use them as a crown to elevate himself, or as a shovel to dig with. So the Rambam talks about how he says people aren't going to like what I'm about to say, but the bottom line is a person is not allowed to take money for learning, for Torah, for his status as Talmid Chacham, and he brings many rayas. For instance, Hillel didn't have any money, and all these other Talmid Chacham had to work in all sorts of forms of denigrating forms of labor, and he says it's impossible that the people of that generation would not have been prepared, wouldn't have run to support these people. Nevertheless, you see that these Gedolim refuse to take handouts out of covenant for their Torah. So the Rambam brings this as a proof that you're not allowed to do this. And then he says the biggest proof is a story about Rabbi Tarfon. And he says this is something that you can't argue about. He says in the middle of this his parish on this mission, says, and he quotes a story, the Kasher Shoma, in the middle he says, the Kasher Shoma, came Balakarim, also of Och Biyodo, Shikfa Chot, Ochei God, away Rabbi Tafin, Kol Shayim, of the Star of Doev, Meosha Yoma, Mashiro, Lo Shehitzel, Asimov, before the Torah. Right, so you see, Rabbi Tarfon was upset. So it was because Rabbi Tarfon was very wealthy, he could have bought his way out. He could have even taken the rap, so to speak. He could have paid off whatever this Bala Bayit, Bala Sada, had lost during the course of the year, and accused Rabbi Tarfon of stealing from him without ever revealing that he was Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, so So you see from here that Rabbi Tarfon, at the cost of saving his life, even though under that threat of losing his life, he wasn't quick. He didn't think quickly enough that there was a way out without having to resort to this, and he was upset about having relied on this. And the Rambam says that really what it boils down to is the problem of taking advantage of taking money and gaining personal gain through learning is chilul Hashem. He says this earlier. He says The Rambam doesn't learn it out from a Kav Chomer, from Klei Kodesh and Ischala, but he learns it from the din of Chilul Hashem. People are going to think that if a person's making a parnasa from being a Talmud Chacham, so there's another occupation, another profession, right? So this guy he happens to make his living learning Torah. And it's a chilul Hashem. People should realize that Torah is not just another way of making a living. So it's a chilul Hashem. The Rambam understands chilul Hashem. It could be that the Rambam does not learn the same way, the Pashas of the Gemara, because I looked very briefly through the Rambam. I don't see that the Rambam brings down the din of Kli Kodesh, Sheneschalo, Kevin Shabal, Pritzim, Chilulua. Could be the Rambam doesn't hold by that Gemara that says by the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Kevin Shabal Pritzim Chilulua. Could be that he disagrees and says it's not Yotze L'Chulin when Goyim Sfil Kli Kodesh or enter the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi is very extreme. Rashi says as soon as they enter into the Beis Hamikdash, all the Kelim become Chol. So it's very possible that the Rambam didn't hold from the whole din of Yatzel Lechulin, Ayide Pritzim, Ayide Goyim. And also, it could be that he agreed with the Ramban that Me'ilu B'mezid does not cause Klei Kodesh to go out to Chulin. So between those, the Rambam was forced to say that the reason that it's usur for a person but Talmud Chacham to make benefit from this Torah is because of the Inyan of Chilul Hashem. Rambam is very strong about this, and then the Gemara continues, returning to the Nedarim. The Gemara continues and says that there are a number of instances where a person is allowed to make benefit from his learning. Right, the Gemara towards the bottom says, "Amar Rav Shavi." About three lines from the bottom, the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shavi le Litzuvim b'Rabbanan lemei Matzuvim b'Rabbanan ano Shavi le Tigroi b'Reishon." A Talmud Chacham is allowed to say, "Give me first. Let me go first for a din Torah." If there's a long line for people waiting for an appointment to have a din Torah in court, the Talmud Chacham would say, "Take care. Deal with me first, give me priority." Right? And because he's a Talmud Chacham. And the Ran says, "Hitiru Targash, the Klama Piskali Dini Trila, let Paskin my din first." The children of David were Kohanim. Right? And obviously, Bnei David were not Kohanim, they were from Shevet Yehuda. So the Ran says, their din was. They were Talmidei Chachamim. The children of David, the sons of David, were Talmidei Chachamim. They had the same status as Kohanim. And how do you know that a Kohen always has first, has priority? Ma Kohen not the Barash, Av Talmud Chacham not the Barash. So the Gemara says, just like a Kohen goes first, so too a Talmud Chacham goes first. Then the Gemara says, for Kohen ben Olon, how do you know that a Kohen goes first? So the Gemara says, V'kidashto, the Pasuk in Emor says, V'kidashto, Kies Lechem, Elokechul Makri, V'kidashto, 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 Chodaber Shevikdusha. Liftoch Rishon, Levarich Rishon, Litom Mana Yafu Rishon. He's the first one called up for the Torah. He's the first one to, he's given the Kol Shel Brach, he leads the benching, and Litom Mana Yafu Rishon. The Ran says over here, Litom Mana Yafu Rishon, that if when two partners are dissolving the partnership, he gets to choose which share is his. And Tosfos in Gittin doesn't like this shot. Tosfos understands that the person isn't allowed. It's considered a bad leader to pick out a better share when dissolving a partnership. He understands it's if a Kohen is dividing up Maiserani or Tzedakah or something like that, he gets first share in Maiserani or Tzedakah. It doesn't mean that he has the right to choose which share, which portion of the partnership, the Sav partnership, will go to him. Okay, so the Gemara here, Gemara uses the pasuk when they got the Davi Kohen and pasuk in Shmuel to prove that a Tam Chacham is equated, seems to say he's equated, has the same status as a Kohen. This Gemara seems to be at odds with the Gemara in Horius that says that a Tam Chacham always takes precedence over a Kohen. The Gemara gives a whole list of who was saved first. Gemara Horius Dafi Gimel, who gets priority. If you have a choice to save this person, who gets first? The Gemara says a Kohen before a Levi, a Levi before Yisrael. And then at the end, the Gemara says the Tam Chacham comes before everybody. The Gemara says the Afilu Tam Chacham, Mamza Tam Chacham, Kodim L'Kayin Gadol Am Aretz. So Mamza Tam Chacham, somebody with no yichus whatsoever, gets precedence over a Kohen Gadol who's an Am Aretz. So there you see that a person who's a Tam Chacham seems to be getting precedence over somebody who is a Kohen. Somebody's a Tam Chacham should always get precedence. The question is he equated or given the same precedence? The Gemara brings a pasuk there, Yikari Himi Pninin. It's dearer than pearls. It's dearer than pearls. So Yikari Himi Kohen Gadol Shenichnas Lifnai Lifnin. The Gemara says that a Tam Chacham is even greater than a Kohen Gadol goes in Lifnai Lifnin. Could be that's an afkamina between the whether you learn out from the pasuk of Neidav Kohanim and you learn it after the pasuk of Yikara Himipin, whether a Kohen has the same status as a Tam Chacham Kohen God or a Tam Chacham has a greater status than a Tam Chacham. The Gemara Megillah seems to say that a Tam Chacham works along the lines of the Gemara in Horius because it says that a Tam Chacham seems to, the Gemara says that Rabbi Pareda. They asked Rabbi Pareda on Daf Chaches. They asked, "Why did Rabbi Pareda?" They asked him, "How did you? By what merit were you zocher to a long life?" And Rabbi Pareda says, "Because I always gave a Kohen the opportunity to go before me." So the Gemara says, "Wait a second. That's not right. That's not the right thing to do. That's wrong because Misanai." The Gemara says, "Misanai avu mavis. Misanai mavis. People hate me." Love death, and the Gemara says Masniyah. It causes people to denigrate Talmid Chacham. I think that if you give a calling to go before a Talmid Chacham, people are going to think that Talmid Chacham is not such an important guy. He goes before somebody who's less than him. So the Gemara says, no, that's talking about somebody who was already. The Gemara says that's talking about somebody who already was somewhat of a Talmid Chacham. The calling was already somewhat of a Talmid Chacham. That's what the Gemara there says. Is the din of Gidashto a din d'oraisa? So the Gemara Gittin on Daf Nun Tes on the days where it talks about Darkei Shalom, it seems to say that a Kohen gets the first Aliyah midin Darkei Shalom. It's a din of Darkei Shalom that a Kohen always should get the first Aliyah. Void Machlokis and the Gemara Daf Nun Tes on the days says, wait a second, what do you mean Darkei Shalom? It's a din d'oraisa, the Gidashto. So the Gemara says, no, this Darkei Shalom is that he shouldn't be Moichel. He says he's not allowed to let somebody else go in front of him because it can cause machlokas. You have a large group of people in shul. So the Gemara seems to say it's on Shabbos and Yom Tov because there's a large group on Mondays and Thursdays. Maybe it is okay, but in principle, it seems to be saying that the Kohen always the din of Yidasho is a din d'oraisa. Tosfos in Chulin, however, learns that it's only an asmachta. The Gemara in Chulin on Daf. Hey, Zayin Amud Aleph talks about the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. It's a mitzvah to, whenever you shech an oaf, a chayor an oaf, to cover the dam with dirt. And the Gemara there tells a story about somebody who cut in front of the shochet and covered up the dam. He stole the mitzvah from the shochet. The mitzvah of the shochet is the one who should be following, should be the one performing the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. The Gemara says that he, since he cheated him out of the mitzvah, he's chayiv asara zehuvim. That's the din of for somebody who cheats somebody out of a mitzvah. So Tosfos says that would not apply to somebody who cheats somebody out of an aliyah, takes an aliyah away from somebody else. Even in a case, Tosfos says, even a case where somebody took an aliyah away from a kohen. because he says that whole drasha of Kiddusha is not really a drasha d'oraisa, it's only an asmachta. Somebody, you have a regular Yisrael has just as much a right to the first Aliyah as a Kohen. The whole drasha of Kiddusha is only an asmachta. Where does the Rambam stand on this? So, if you take a look in the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Mitzvah Beis, the Rambam, in Mitzvah Saseh Lamed Beis, the Rambam says, HaMitzvah Lamed Beis, you should say, L'chabed Zera Aram, it's a mitzvah for us to honor the offspring of Aram, L'nasam, L'romamam, to elevate them, raise them up, V'nasi Madregosa Madrega Kodemes, to give them the first, the highest level, V'rishona, V'afilu Yimam, even if they don't want it, they don't want to accept it, also, L'nishmam, we shouldn't listen to them, Zekulo, Hagdolu L'keis Alis, and it's really a praise and elevation to Kodesh Baruch Hu Asher Achar Shehu Lachom Bachom La'Avodas L'Akriv Korbanosa, since he selected them, chose them to bring his korbanos. V'Amar Yisrael Yisborach V'Kidashto, and he quotes the pasuk Yislechem L'Kechu Bakriv Kodesh Yelach V'Teirish V'Kidashu Chol Davar Shebkedushi. You raise him up for every, you elevate him, you sanctify him for every object, every matter of kedusha. L'Ashut Sifah. The Rambam quotes this whole drasha, seeming to say that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. However, if you take a look in Klei HaMikdash, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, HaKohanim, Hudulu Michlal Levim La'avodas HaKorbanos. The Kohanim are separated from the Levim for bringing the Korbanos. Shenema Vayavil Aaron La'adisha Kodesh. Kodesh Kodeshim, Aaron was separated to sanctify him, to make him holy, holy of holies. The mitzvah saseh, he, Nevram says, the mitzvah saseh, lahavdil kohanim, to separate the kohanim, ulekadeshim, and to sanctify them, ulachiram the carbon, and to prepare them for carbon, shenema v'kidashu, gez alechem alekechu makriv. So the Rambam says here in Halacha Aleph, doesn't mention anything about giving precedence. He mentions the halacha that you have to sanctify them and make them ready, prepared to bring carbon. Right? And the pashtus, if you take a look in the Mefarshei HaRambam, it's talking about to prevent them from doing anything that would disqualify them from being karbanos, such as marrying women that are coming, a woman that a kohen's not allowed to marry, or becoming tamei. So there's a mitzvah on Bezdin to make sure that a kohen is careful not to transgress any of those avers that render him, that disqualify him for bringing karbanos. That's the Iker Mitzvah. Then Halacha Beis, he adds in, the Tzarech Kol Adam Yisrael Linhog Bohen Kavod Harbei La'akdim Osam L'chol Dav Shavidish L'Ftav B'Tav Rishon L'Vorch Rishon, almost like Derech Adav, he adds that there's also a mitzvah to honor them and give them the first choice of everything. Liftoch, the Torah Rishon, the Work Rishon, Litav Mani Yefet Rishon. So the Rambam in Halacha Beis mentions a halacha that seems to be almost unrelated to what he starts off talking about in Halacha Aleph. Indeed, if you take a look in the headings in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam ignores the whole dimension of giving precedence to a kohen and only mentions in Mitzvah Yud. In the headings of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Ovdenbah, Mitzvah, the Kaddish HaKohen Lavod, set aside a Kohen for a vote. It doesn't mention anything about giving the Kohen precedence in any of the mitzvahs we talk about. If you take a look in the Ha'aris of Perla on the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadigon, he says indeed that the Rambam backtracked in the Yad, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, and reversed his original description of this mitzvah as he writes it in Sefer HaMitzvot, in the Klei HaMikdash, he holds that the mitzvah of the Kiddushto is not mitzvah of giving precedence to the Kohen, but rather making sure that the Kohen is fit to serve in the Mikdash. Okay, so it could be the Rambam, in fact, in let's take a look in the Rambam back in the Pirush HaMishnayos. How does he explain the heter for a person, for Tam Chacham, to take advantage of his status, as the Gemara says, to ask to be given the first Din Torah, to be put first on line for the Din Torah? The Rambam says, "Aval adavish etirasa v'atar l'tamid chachamim u'shiyitnu mals v'adam l'sasek v'hem." כרצון אמי יוצא, ועושה כן יש לו סל כך, זהו מתאי לי מויג, כיס תמי לכל מכין למכוס חולס, התחילו לאכול המקום, ומוסם להם המחיר הראשון הבשוט בהכרח, so you can give him money to do business with, you can give him money to invest, you can, I'll give him, there's a mitzvah to Mechavid Atam Chacham, give him the first chance, give him the right to have the first sale of merchandise, have him to be the first one to sell merchandise. Why? כי שתי הפעולות הללו עושים עושים לפעמים מהסוכרים זה המצא דרך כבד. יפה פי שאין שום חוכם, ופוך שאיתם חוכם כאן בארץ שמחבדים עושה. So the Rambam says it nothing to do with Gidashto, no drush of Bnei David. He says the minig olam is that people sometimes honor other people that aren't necessarily tamid chacham. They give them the first opportunity to sell, or they offer them a loan to do business. So a tam chacham should be treated like at least like somebody else who's not a tam chacham, and therefore, since it's the minig shenog shiva olam, there's no problem of a tam chacham taking advantage of his status in this way. If a stam heviel is about to take advantage of what is done in the business world, why should a Talmud Chacham also take advantage of that? So, if you would ask me, it seems, if we work with Rav Perlo's understanding of the Rambam Klei HaMikdash, that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Kiddush is not a din d'oraisa, so therefore the whole Gemara in the Darim is, he doesn't hold like the din of Bnei David, the whole heter for Talmud Chacham to ask for the right to accept benefits to have in the business world is not based at all on the pasuk of Yudashko, but rather just minhag olam. Since people, it's normal for businessmen to honor and to give offer favors to other businessmen, there's no reason that a Talmud Chacham should also not be denied, should be denied that advantage as well. Right, so again, the Peirush HaMishnah seems to be working clearly. This is not like the Sefer HaMitzvos. Then, going back to the Gemara in the Darim, talks about Samach Beis, a second heter for Talmud Chacham. Then the Gemara says, "I'm a Rava on Daf Samach Beis on the Beis. Shari Le Letzur Mirabon Yemelo Yehivna Karga. Talmud Chacham can say, I'm not going to pay tax. What is a karga? It's talking about certain taxes. Yeah, the Mefarish on the Gemara there says, "Eini rotzei litein mas b'shvil shani chacham." I don't want to have to pay tax. And the Gemara says, "How do we know this?" The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Ezra, "Menad below v'holach lo sholit lemirma aleihem aleho." Right, so there's a pasuk in Ezra that says that all tamid chachamim were excused from having to pay the various taxes that are discussed there. Whether it was a head tax or taxes for providing the meals, as the Ram points out, for the royal meals, for the meals for the royal family, the Talmidei Chachamim were excused from these things as well. So it seems that we're talking about some sort of halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that a Talmid Chacham was also excused from these government taxes. What is the Rambam? Has the Rambam present this back, going back to the Pirush Mishnayis? V'chein Patra Torah. It's called Tamid Chamim, Kol HaChovos HaMem Shaltiyos. Tamid Chamim are exempt as well from all the governmental obligations, Kagon HaMagbios, taxes, Varnanios, Avisim HaMuchodim Al Odom, special taxes on people, Vua Nikra Kesef Gulgolta, Umeshalim Al Samaleim HaKol. The community is obligated to pay for them. Ubin HaChomos HaYos, again, similarly for building the walls of the town, the Afilu HaYot HaMuchochim, Baal Momin Rav. Even if he was a man of great wealth, Enochai Klumikolze doesn't have to pay anything. Kvarhod Bezer Rabna Yosef Halevi Zatzal, that's of course the Rebbe of the Rambam, the Rimagash. Ishai Besvarad, somebody in Spain, Shai Loganos, Vakromim, Sheshivuyam, Alfidam, Vahol, Fatum, the Kabos, the Menem, Bishnei Shutam Chachamim. So the Rimi, he has a precedent, the Rimagash exempted a Tam Chacham, a well to do Tam Chacham, from having to pay any, he happened to be very well to do, nevertheless he was exempted by the Vimigash from having to pay any of the governmental taxes the community had to pay for it. Even though poor people had to pay for it. Then he says something sensational. What's the source? The Zedin Torani, to Dindo Raisa, Kemosha Patra Torah Sekohanami, Machsis HaShekel, Kemosha Vyanamim Komo. just like a kohen is exempt from Aksar Shekel, as we explained in its place. So the Rambam says the din is from Aksar Shekel, the Ptur Kohen from Aksar Shekel. Okay, so if you take a look in the Mishnah in the first parish, in Shalom, the Mishnah there presents a machlokas between Ben Bukhri and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, whether or not Kohanim are exempt from the mitzvah Machzah Shekel. There's a mitzvah Machzah Shekel, which is had a nice discussion, that every Jew, every Jew is obligated to give Kohanim Levim, it seems. Kohanim, everybody is obligated to give Machzah Shekel once a year to pay for the Truma Salishka, since the Karbonos. The Karbanos that brought every year were Karbanos Tzibur, so they have to come from the Tzibur. They have to be funded by the Tzibur, and the Machzah Shekel was that fund that paid for the Karbanos Tzibur. So the question is, what Kohanim also included in that? So Ben Bukhri held the Kohanim were not Chayiv. They wanted to, it's a nice thing to do, but they were not Chayiv. The Rebbe Yochanan Zakkai disagrees, said Kohanim are Chayiv. Kohanim are everybody's Chayiv, said. All the Klal Yisrael are Chayiv. Right? Why were the Kohanim exempt? According to the Man D'Amar, the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnah seems to be working with the assumption that Kohanim are not Chayiv. Why were the Kohanim exempt? So they had a whole Svara. The Mishnah says they had a whole Svara. They said that since a Kohen, a Minchas Kohen, has to be burnt, Kalil, so how are they ever going to be able to benefit? How are they ever going to eat their portion of those Menachos? That's Sipur that they're chayiv to eat the Omer, the Shtei Lechem, Lechem upon him. So it must be that they are not allowed to kick into they're not supposed to kick into to the Karbonos Tzibur. They're not chayiv to pay for a share of the Karbonos Tzibur and the Machzas HaShekel, since it would prevent them from being mekayim those mitzvahs of Menachos that they have to eat. So, I mean, what this has to do with paying taxes, I don't know. I'd love to hear anybody who has something to say about this, but I don't know what to say about this. Derech Agav, the Rambam in Hilchos Shkolim passes like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai anyway, so he says that Kohanim are chayav to pay Machzah Shekel. So what he does here is a little difficult to explain. Okay, so just halacha l'maisa, what do we hold? If we would hold like the Rambam today, we'd be in big trouble, of course, all the kolim and B'nai Yeshivas that take funding. Certainly go against the Rambam in his presentation in Pirshei Mishnayos. Okay, so the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud, where the Rambam, again, consistent with the Sheik in Pirshei Mishnayos, says Kolam Mesim Alibo Shiyasa V'Tov Aliyasa Malocha V'Yispanis Menetzlocha V'Zechel Hashem. Rambam says B'Feirish, any person that says that he's going to just learn, he's not going to do any work, and he's going to support himself from Tzedakah Zechel Hashem V'Zechel Hashem V'Zechel Hashem V'Zechel. Rambam says in the same line that he says, the same approach that he uses in the Pirshei Mishnayos. The Kesef Mishnah, however, is quick to quote the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Kochei. Gemara says that there was a fund, Talmidei Chachamim were funded by the Trumas Halishka in order to train Kohanim how to perform certain avodas, how to do Shrita, how to do Kmitza. So they were funded from the Trumas Halishka. And Dayanim, the Gemara there says, on the same time, I think over there, Kufav also talks about Dayanim. The Dayanim were also funded from the Trumas Halishka. How could that be? So the Kesef Mishnah says that's what the Rambam's talking about. He says that the Isser to benefit from Torah is something that somebody who has the ability to support himself else. Otherwise, he has a degree where he can work, let's say, part-time. He has a certain parnasa where he can support himself. But these people, a person who works full-time in teaching Torah or in paskening shilas, being a dayan, that person is, in fact, Tosfos says this, right? Tosfos there in Sukkos and Daf Kufei says that such a person who doesn't have another means of support, this guy's doing, he's involved full time in teaching Torah, disseminating Torah, and being a dayan, right? He's performing at Tzorach Tzibur. So how can you say that this person is not allowed to do it? That's why this person, such a person, is allowed to benefit from the Trumas Halishka and could be provided for from the Trumas Halishka. Another person who has the means to support himself In another way, Addy takes money for his Torah. That's whatever it is. That's the issue that you learn out from Belshazzar, or according to Rambam and the Chil Hashem, whatever it may be. But that does not apply to a person who's working full time in Tzorchei Tzibur, in disseminating Torah or being a Dayan. Then at the end of the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam himself, the Kesef Mishnah says that even according to the Rambam, he says famous stuff. Ah, the Gamki know that. Shalom, Divrei Rabbeinu, even if we accept the Pirush HaMishnah, even if we accept that the Rambam is saying the Pirush HaMishnah, after Shesibu Ken Kol Chachmei Adoros Mishum Eis La'asos La'Hashem Efeu Tel Sechol. Says it's an emergency measure. Shehu Lo Haisa Parnosas Halomdim V'amalamdim Mitzir Lo Yichom Yitroch B'Torah Kavoy V'Eisa Torah Mishlakachas Chas V'Shom V'Yosem Mitzir Yuchlu La'asok V'Yagdo Tov Yad. He says it's impossible for a person to ever grow in learning if he did not take the time and be supported by others to become a Talmud Chacham. It could be in the earlier generations, people were able to grow and to be Talmud Chacham while they were working as well. But in the later generations, I think what the Kesef Mishnah says is you read this Adoros, and therefore it's very difficult for people nowadays. You would not have too many people coming out to be Talmud Chachamim if they would not accept outside funding, and therefore it's permitted for them to benefit based on the principle of Eisa Sos Hashem, an emergency measure. Just as we see Rabbi Yudah Nasi violated the din that you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbat Peh in order to preserve Torah Shabbat Peh. So this is preserving Torah as well. In order to preserve Torah, a person, Talmid Chacham, have to make Talmid Chachamim eligible to accept personal gain in order to support themselves for learning Torah. Of course, everybody talks about the Rambam at the end of Shemitah V'Yavol, where he says that seems to contradict himself here in the Mishnah Torah himself. The Rambam says that anybody is allowed, anybody who feels that he wants to devote his life to learning is allowed to be not just the Rambam begins talking. He talks about the Kohanim and the Levim. He says, why were the Kohanim and Levim denied a share in Eretz Yisrael? And why were they not given a nachla in Eretz Yisrael? Why were they given the Chavtal Matanos Kuna and the Matanos Levim with Meiser? So the Rambam says that, first of all, they had to serve in the Mikdash. They had to be prepared to serve in the Mikdash. Rashi says in Sefer Devarim as well. And then he has a second dimension. They also have to be the teachers of Klal Yisrael. They're the Morei Horah, the Malam De Torah. They're the people, the Kohanim, the Kohanim and Levim have the task of teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. That's a second task that the Kohanim and Levim have. And the second reason why they were not given a portion, they didn't have to work. They didn't have to go out and work. They have to focus on these two things, working in the Mikdash, doing the service of the Avod in the Mikdash, and spreading Torah for Klal Yisrael. And then the Rambam continues and says, not only Kohanim and Levim are given a share, should be supported by Klal Yisrael, by the rest of Klal Yisrael for what they do, but any other person who wants to devote himself completely to learning and to Torah and to become a Kodesh Lashem, like a Kohen, he's like a Kohen and like a Levi, he also doesn't work, is cool over Kodesh, and a person involved completely in learning. So it seems to contradict what he's saying over here, where a person here in Talmud Torah, he speaks like he says in the Pirush Mishnah, is that it's also to benefit from Torah. Okay, there's a lot that's been said to resolve the difference between the two. I'll just end by citing the Bircha Shmuel at the end of Kedushin, the famous thing where Baruch Be'er quotes Reb Chaim, says that the Yikr Sheet of the Rambam is the Sheet in Shemitah V'Yavol. Really, the Rambam holds that ideally a person should be devoting himself completely to learning, should not work in this world. And it happens to be the fact is that the Rambam in Talmud Torah is talking about a person who's incapable of doing so. But a person who is capable of doing so should actually devote himself completely to learning. It's Gemara, it's Machlokas and Gemara and Brachas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Pshim Vaichai. Who does the Rambam hold like? So when the Gemara and Brachas says that Gadol Torah in Der Cheretz, the Gemara says that a person, Rabbi Shmuel says that a person should try to make a shiluv between learning and Torah. Right? quotes a pasuk Yisachli Banecha that a person should be able to support himself. As Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, a person should devote himself completely to learning. The Rambam seems to go pasuk Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Shemitah B'Yavam. Chaim says, yeah, that's the person who's capable of doing so should follow what the Rambam talks about Shemitah B'Yavam. That's the Rambam's Ikar Shita, and a person who's incapable, who either lacks the ability or lacks the desire to do so, should follow what is described as Shita's Rabbi Shmuel in the Gemara in Brachos.